He is one of South Africa's top labor lawyers. He's a politician and member of parliament. And now you can access Michael Bagrum as he talks law and life on High FM. Join Michael Bagrum at 6 p.m. for Bagrum on Law and Life, 101.9 High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life and law.
Thank you. You're with Michael Bagrum and my wonderful guest, the Western Cape Minister of Social Development, Jaco Lont. Jaco has been taking us through some of the interesting things that he does on a daily basis. It's an enormous job. It's right through the Western Cape, right up until he's almost in the Northern Cape. He's up on the border there this evening and talking to us live from there. And it's fantastic to hear the amazing work that he's doing hand in glove with the various NGOs who look after the disability sector. He just told us a wonderful story about the motor vehicles that were supplied to one of the NGOs and the wonderful work that the Western Cape government is doing. We hear from various parts of the country, I know that up in Gauteng, a lot of the budget was sent back to the national parliament and not needed. We don't do that in the Western Cape, so we are boasting a little bit about what happens in the Western Cape and how we do it. So you're with Michael Bagrum every Tuesday evening between 6 and 7. And sorry, Jaco, we interrupted you, and I apologize for that. And over to you again.
No, not at all. So I don't know where the last bit that you got cut off, but so did you hear the part I spoke about the registrations of the NGOs?
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So take it from there.
So the last bit, I briefly touched about the sustainability of NGOs. And as you correctly said, we are in a fiscally constrained environment, and NGOs has been struggling. And now even with the USAID, USAID that's been pulled, the donor pool is being flooded with organizations that used to have a solid stream of income. And now the conversation is, how do we make sure that we work together so that the finite resources we've got actually reach the clients, the vulnerable residents in the Western Cape? And that sometimes takes some uncomfortable conversations that need to take place. If an organization really spends too much cent in the rand on administration and that doesn't reach the clients, then maybe you should rather fund organizations that have a more efficient way in delivering quality services that actually reach the clients, the vulnerable people. And that is what we also did by establishing the Cape Care Fund now. It is a vehicle that was now created together with the Health Foundation of South Africa, who has a tremendous track record on their own, so that we actually create a platform just outside government, because even though we're incredibly proud of our services, there's a level of cynicism towards how government works. You can look at the rest of the country why that is there. And that is then to say to businesses or individuals, doesn't matter what your passion is, doesn't matter how much money you've got, here's a vehicle where you can say, you know what, Jaco, I want to get involved with people with disabilities. And we can actually ring fence that funding and make sure that it goes to an organization that work with people with disabilities. And it can even go as far as say, you know what, my heart is for the people of Merweville. Now, Merweville is a small little town that falls under the Beaufort West municipality. And we can then ring fence and make sure that an NGO that does services there gets the money. And in this way, we want to make sure that the little bit of resources we've got, we stretch that rand as far as possible. We establish this fund so that we can even do international fundraising. So is there anybody in America sitting? We even have that capacity that if you want to donate to us, you can actually get the number so that it's tax deductible for you in the States. And I'm incredibly excited about the potential we've got here. And it's also when you start having these conversations, people say, you know what, I like this new innovative way of thinking. Here's an idea from my side. And that's why I'm saying I'm open to have any conversations, because hopefully, Michael, we'll be announcing this in about 6 to 8 weeks. There's an organization that say, you know what, we'll take in interns purely from the foster system. And for the next X number of years, we'll be taking a set number of interns every year, specifically out of the foster system. We sit with 43,000 children in the foster system in the Western Cape. And those are all children that's in the care of government. And then also we have amazing foster parents, safety parents, and then we call them child and youth care centers that these children go through. So those are a few more snippets for you to think about.
Chew on. Let me tell you, now that you made me think, I'm involved. I'm a trustee of an organization called Zip Zap Circus. You might have heard of them. Yeah. They're actually very close to Alan Windy's heart. He's visited us on many occasions, including his lovely wife, who's always helped us out. And Zip Zap Circus takes children off the street. Many of the children are taken off the street. And we even provide some housing. We have house parents. We have training. We send them to school. And then and those that can't obviously perform in circus, we train them for ancillary services. We need electrician, we need plumbers, we need builders, we need tent riggers, that sort of thing. And many of the children going through the Zip Zap Circus school, let's call it, have found wonderful jobs on tourist ships around the world. They've including Cirque du Soleil in France and Canada. We've had a wonderful system. Would they be people possibly able to come and approach you to see if we can be accredited?
Yeah, I mean, Michael, that's the thing. It's about creating opportunities and pathways for children, in this case, to fulfill their full potential. And whichever way we can find a way of creating pathways, we will run with it. There's an organization called Africa Skills. They fall under UXI in George. We have facilities that we need to take children in that are either awaiting trial, sentenced youth, or they've got severe behavioral problems. And in those facilities, we've got professionals. Oh, there's lightning and thunder in
the Peru. Where you are in the northern. Oh, keep your head down.
Yeah. So, and they then said, you know what? We'll take children in and we'll teach them either to be a mechanic or to an electrician or a plumber. Yeah. And there's other organizations that also do this. And my number one call is always, let's just agree to do something. And whatever it is to make sure we create pathways for these children, let's do that. I went to a documentary last week with some kids that came out of the foster care system in South Africa, and they partnered with some children in Ireland. And that's maybe a conversation that if you want to have that in the future. And they were having this conversation on how do they find life after they come out of this care environment. Because we are only allowed to keep kids in some of our facilities up until the age of 18. If they hit 18 and they're not in school anymore, they need to fend for themselves. Now, I'm still blessed to have my parents. So if I have even at my age of 40, I have a problem, I phone up my dad and I say, Dad, give me some help. Many of these kids don't have that. So that's one of the other things we need to start looking at, in how do we provide them just that extra safety net? And that's one of the other things that I'm now looking at to say, how can we provide that additional layer of protection so that somebody can maybe get to the age of 21 and then have to fend for themselves? Because as you would know, between 38 and 41, it's a lot shorter period than between 18 and 21. That's a big growth spurt that you make in those years.
Let me tell you, and I don't know how you do this, because, I mean, you spread right over the Western Cape, and there are thousands and thousands of little towns, dorpies, municipalities. For instance, I know that this coming weekend I'm going to be going on my motorbike through the Karoo with some friends. I'm very excited about that. And I've, in fact, been on my motorbike to Merveville. And that's why I was smiled when you mentioned it. But there are little places all over that are helping people, feeding schemes, training schemes. Wherever I go, we're going to be, funny enough, not this weekend, but during next week, in Oudtshoorn as well on the motorbike. And we know, and I see these places because we, as a club, as a motorbike club, try and raise funds and give. We don't actually give money to little places that do feeding schemes or nursery schools or old age homes. They all need money. They're desperate for money. And many of the old age homes that we give to are basically impecunious. But they all tell me that they do get a grant from the Western Cape government and probably through your department. The old age homes, some of the creches that are run for impecunious children. But there are thousands of them. We can't keep up as a motorbike club just in the little towns that we go to. So if we're going to sleep a night in Oudtshoorn next week, we find a place there, then we can buy them what they need, maybe some food stuff and whatever, because we never hand over money because we never know what's going to happen to it. But we do hand over goods and services if we can. The reality is, can you just tell us how you actually handle this? I mean, you don't have 10,000 people helping you in your department. How do you keep some sort of check on what's going on?
So, I mean, we have, I don't know, angels that work in our department because we only sit with 2,600 staff and we need to look after a province that's got 7.5 million people. So I often say social workers are those people that keep society that's often tearing at the seams together, and they work in some of the most horrific circumstances and they just pitch up for work every day. So we really have some amazing staff in the department. But as I said, also we've got just over 1,000 NGOs that we fund, and then there's another 12,000 that we cannot even fund. So one of the things that I can maybe ask is that when anybody wants to get involved, please reach out and just check if the organization is compliant, because sometimes people got a certificate for registration, but they're not compliant anymore. And you're not sure that that money actually reaches the clients. And that's my refrain all the time, that we need to make sure that we fund organizations that's accredited, compliant, they've got a proven track record. So that you actually know it reaches the clients. And I was actually thinking just before sitting down, it's flower season up the West Coast. Was wondering if you're going to come up with your Harley and your team up this side.
Yeah, we're going into the Karoo, but next time.
No. Yeah. But that's the amazing thing. And I love travel. I love the province, the country we have. And every small town, you will find amazing people that serve the most vulnerable. And it's those people that we need to strengthen. And somebody asked me the other day, what's my why? Why do I keep doing what I do? But my why is also inspired by all the people that do so much with so little. And if we can create a more enabling environment for them to live out their passion and to serve people that need it, then my day is made. I mean, if you hear these success stories, if you see the smiles on people's faces, then you know, Jaco, you're on the right track, and you can at least, whenever I move on, you leave the department healthier than what you found it.
Look, Jaco, I just wanted to veer off slightly, if you don't mind, because a wonderful memory comes to mind of mine, which involved you at a certain point of time, and that is I went on a motorbike trip up to Mossel Bay. I think it was now possibly a year and a half ago. And I stayed in a wonderful guest house run by most fastidious German owners who were very careful about everything they did and very careful about that I didn't mess up the furniture and didn't drop something on the floor and whatever. It was a wonderful place. You could have eaten off the floor. But luck would have it, when I left, I said goodbye to them. I paid and I got onto the motorbike and drove off into the distance, as anyone would, with my team of Harley drivers. And at the first garage, I wanted to get some petrol. I put my hand in my pocket to get my wallet out, and I found I still had the keys to this guest house. And I thought, you know, you can do it to anyone, and you can probably apply, but they're not going to take that lying down at all. As luck would have it, the husband of the lady who ran the guest house in Mossel Bay I think he had no choice. His wife had told him he's got to follow us. And he reckoned that if he travels about 40, 50 Ks outside Mossel Bay, there was a garage there. We would probably stop there to fill up with fuel because we had told him we needed to get fuel. And of course, he caught us there. and he then got the keys back. But I was so embarrassed. I turned to you knowing that you travel the country just about every day and everywhere, and in particular in those areas. And I had to send a box of chocolates and a thank you note and apologies and whatever, which you then organized to be delivered. I think your folks, your parents still live in Mossel Bay, and they delivered. So I want to publicly thank you for this, for that. I then got a wonderful call from the lady, and she said, "We're welcome to come back anytime, despite the fact that I'm lost cop," and despite the fact that she almost threw a fit when she was not only on the keys, but it had all the keys to the safe, it had the gate keys, the whole bit. She wasn't taking that line down. So publicly, I thank you. I really appreciate it. I don't think I have up until now. So thank you very much. And please convey my thanks to your parents who actually physically went there and delivered those keys back. So you saved my name, my good name in Mossel Bay. But yes, thank you very much. I also know that you've been approached by the South African Jewish Border Deputies in the Mossel Bay area to help with a camp that is there. Can you tell that and the help that you've been able to at least render or at least put out a hand of friendship? It's called B'nai Akiva. It's a wonderful organization, a youth organization. I know that Mr. Zev Kringle is very involved with it, and I think they have met up with you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that has been such an honor getting to know Zev, Rina, all the team there, Wendy, and
Wendy Khan,
Yes. So, I mean, I'm missing some people's names. Aram was there as well, but I'm missing some names. So I should actually not name people because otherwise you're going to forget.
But someone, I mean, it's called in Yiddish, it's called a feribel. As it don't get mentioned, we'll get very angry. Okay.
But no, there's the first time I met them, I got a call from James Self, and I said, "Jakub, I've got some very important people that you need to meet, and you need to sort out their problem." And they all flew to Mossel Bay because the neighbors around the campsite were complaining because these young adults, they come alive at night. They've got their sport and they've got their music and their activities that they do. And the neighbors are complaining, even though the camp has been there much longer than some of the neighbors. And it was within 10, 15 minutes, we have amazing officials in Mossel Bay. It was sorted out. So the rest of the meeting, we could just have like a chat and click with the people from the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and also from the camp. And it's been an amazing relationship since. I've been there every year when I'm in Mossel Bay, when the camp is there, I get invited. We go there, we have lunch. And it's such an amazing thing. And also when I hear the stories of people that have gone through the camps and people that are willing to volunteer, professionals like doctors and nurses and physios that volunteer their time, it's just an amazing concept. And for Mossel Bay, which is my own constituency, it is just such a boost to our economy every single year. And may it continue and may it reach new heights going forward. Because I know there was a bit of a knock during the pandemic, but it seems like it's picking up. But it's an amazing relationship and an amazing group of people.
Thank you for that, and thank you for helping them officially from the Jewish community. It is fantastic that you are so willing and so able to help. In fact, not only has it grown from strength to strength, I think it's now the biggest youth camp, probably the biggest youth gathering for a long camp like that in the country. And well done to them and the B'nai Akiva management and staff and all their helpers. I also know that you have visited the caravan park is owned by the Singer brothers in Mossel Bay. I know that they have reached out to you for some help as well. I put them onto you. I apologize. I put them onto your back. But you've actually been helping them and you've been speaking to them, and thank you for that as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It's turned into a wonderful resort there in Mossel Bay in the middle of your constituency.
Yeah, so I mean, this is now where I'm a proper politician. I take the credit for somebody else's good work. But
Yeah.
we've
But
got
they have thanked you.
we've
Yeah.
got an amazing mayor in Marsa Bay, Dirk Kotzia, and our municipal manager, Colin Pirin, and they really go above and beyond to find ways. Are we taking an ad break?
Yeah.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Thank you. You're back with Michael Bagram every Tuesday evening between 6 and 7 p.m. Please contact Kai FM. Let us know which guests you want us to invite, what you want us to talk about. But this evening, you've got a wonderful guest, the Western Cape Minister of Social Development, Jaco Lont. Jaco has taken us through some of his history, some of the various problems that he's sorted out through his department, the Social Development Department in the Western Cape, and telling us about some of the issues they've had with NGOs and how they're sorting it out and how effective they've been. And it's been an absolutely wonderful story, Jaco, that you've taken us through. I'm talking a little bit about your constituency now, in the Mossel Bay area, where you actually have a dual task. You're not only the minister, but you also have a constituency that you look after. And he told us a little bit about the intervention and the friendship he's built up with the Bina Khiva camp and the management of the camp. And we were talking now about the caravan park in Mossel Bay. A friend of mine, Leon Singer, who had a problem in that area. Was not enormous problems, but problems that they're desperately trying to sort out. I put them on to Jaco Lont's office. They reported to Jaco, being the minister, and he's obviously in turn reported it to the municipality and the mayor and some of the mayoral team. And I think he's built up a wonderful friendship with the Singers, and their superb, absolutely superb caravan park. I know that when we're on our motorbikes, it's a pit stop for us to be able to sleep over there. And it's a wonderful, it's been just been renovated and fixed up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as I said, we are blessed to have some amazing public reps. And Dirk is the mayor in Marsa Bay. He is a businessman, an entrepreneur. And it helps when you have somebody that actually runs your town like a business, that knows what it is, the challenges. And when you have a problem, he won't do any favors. He will work within the rules. But that is what you need to do. You need to have somebody that's willing, a willing ear, firstly, to meet. And he made the effort to meet with the Singers and said he will set up a meeting and sort it out. And it seems like they're making progress. And that's what I appreciate also in Mossel Bay, but in the department as well, and also by the Premier, how they motivate us to be innovative, to think outside the box, to try and find different ways. Because if we just continue doing things the way we have done, we're going to struggle. And that is also like what I said earlier. If there's any of your listeners, Michael, that's got an idea of how we can do things better or how we can partner, collaborate, we are all ears to find new ways of making sure that the cracks we've got, we fill that up and we give that stable footing for people to stand on.
It's one of the true values that I'm noticing in the Western Cape government. I'm struggling with the other provinces' governments because I obviously get queries from across the country with under my portfolio of Labour. When I talk about the Western Cape government, they're very much involved in trying to help the business community. You have turned to the business community on occasions, and you're always open. Every single minister in your government is open to hear from the business community as to what they think will actually run it better, what will create more jobs. In essence, I do salute every minister in your government because you've brought the unemployment down to below 19% when the country's sitting at 43%. And it tells. Those figures don't lie. I know it upsets, occasionally it upsets COSATU when I tell them about this, but you have a concept, and we have once or twice spoken on air on Chai FM about this, but you've got a concept known, I think it's called First Thursdays.
Yes.
Tell us what that is. I've actually used that as well to hand over a gripe to one of your colleagues, but you tell us a little bit about that. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, so like you say, we cannot do it alone. It's not a government that creates jobs. It's a government that must create an enabling environment for businesses to thrive. And that's why we also pitch and say, hey, if you want to start up a business, come and do it in the Western Cape. And just last week, an entrepreneur from KZN, who's now based in Joburg, looking to set up a factory in the Western Cape. And I spoke to Minister Ivan Meyer. He said, Jaco, refer to me. Send an email. Half an hour later, the ball was rolling. And they're now going to have the next meeting.
Yeah.
And if that can come off, it's 140 new job opportunities in the Western Cape. That's direct opportunities. And the knock-on effect is going to be amazing. So I'll just quickly on the first Thursday that you ask. So every first Thursday of the month, we go out to a different community. No appointment. You can pitch up. You can speak to us. And there come some amazing collaborations out of that. So I see we need to wrap up. But that's the thing. If you're accessible to people, and that government and society can work together, and that's how we'll let our country reach its full potential.
So, of course, the hand of friendship is sent to all the other provinces to come to the Western Cape, enjoy a decent government, enjoy open and friendly government. And thank you. Yes, I've also been instructed to wrap up, but I could have spoken for another hour to you. I've got lots more to ask. But nonetheless, we'll do it again sometime when you've got time again. But thank you ever so much. This is Minister Jaco Lont, the Minister of Social Development of the Western Cape Government. Jaco, absolutely wonderful guy, someone who's always approachable, always able to help, always wanting to help, and always looking for a solution. So, Jaco, thank you for joining us this evening. I am honored, and I'm sure our listeners are very excited. Thank you.
It was such a pleasure, and please invite me back. It's like a chat between friends. It doesn't feel like an interview, so I really appreciate that as well. Have a lovely
thank
evening.
You. Thank you.